Caroline, Willie, G Mace, 1025, 1063, the game in the Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. We're live out here at Jasper's on West End Avenue. They've got a bunch of the games on Furman, Virginia on now. About midway through the second half, Virginia leads 42-33. West Virginia, Maryland on as well. West Virginia leads by three, and that might be cut just a little bit if he makes that free throw, and he did. A bunch of games on, so come out to Jasper's. Grab some drinks, grab some food, hang out, and watch the games.
Missouri, an early lead over Utah State, 23-16. A lot of people watching the Mountain West after Nevada's dud last night, saying,
totally
hey,
dud.
Four teams from the Mountain West. So Utah State representing right now against an SEC team. Howard in Kansas just underway as well, the 1 versus 16.
I did see some bold bracketeers putting Missouri in their Final Four.
Ooh,
I don't know if I'd be that bold, but it is interesting to watch.
I don't have them going that far, but they're pretty good.
They are pretty good. They are pretty good. Elliot Friedman normally joins us on Thursdays at 1 o'clock. He is at the NHL GM meetings, so we will chat with him next week. We'll get all of the deets, all the tea on what was discussed at the NHL GM meetings. But last week, we talked to Elliot, asked him what would be on the docket of some of the discussion at the GM meetings. He said one thing that he was really interested to see is any changes that GMs would like to make to fighting in the NHL, because they want to really crack down on unnecessary fights in the NHL, just looking out for player safety. And I understood the GM side of things. If you have to protect your assets, you don't want another player just coming at your $8 million a year player for no reason at all and in putting his safety in jeopardy. There was a ton of backlash from hockey fans saying, hey, I like watching fights in games. That's the reason why a lot of people get into the games and want to come to games, is to watch those fights, is to watch the mitts get dropped and have them go at it. I see both perspectives.
It's a constant discussion.
Yeah.
Is the balance of what's right, what's best for the game, and what do we want to just, you know, weed out completely. Mm-hmm. So I don't think this will be the last time to discuss it. I think one thing that's come up recently is if you have a good, hard, clean, legal hit, and another guy comes up and challenges you to a fight because you hit a guy legally, should you really have to fight?
Yeah.
You didn't have a dirty hit. Like, you don't always know if it's dirty, but sometimes teams just, if a guy gets crushed on their team, their instinct is to come over and defend him, even though it was a perfectly legal hit. I think that's getting discussed. The other thing that's getting discussed is should they expand, this is another thing in all sports, should they expand replay to include a couple other things? Like flipping the puck over the glass and out of play. It's a delay of game penalty. It's a big call. Sometimes it's hard for the four officials to see if it was lifted directly out over the glass, or did it hit something? Did it deflect off of somebody before it went out? And sometimes replay would really help spell it out. So that's getting discussed right now.
I wonder how long they're going to continue to discuss the whole fighting thing. Because, and this is only me, and I'm not going to sit here and say I've been following hockey since Gordie Howe or something like that. Even though I grew up a Red Wing fan, I wasn't following it that closely. And this is just me. I think they need to take it out. I see no benefit of it. You know, I think the longer it stays in, the harder it is to take out, because now these younger hockey players, this is all they see. You know, I can understand, you know, long ago, you know, as you're coming up in the ranks, this is all you see. So that when you get in the big leagues, this is, you're going to fight.
Right.
If you want to curve it or you want to stop it, then stop it at the big leagues now. So they don't see these younger players. They don't see the major league guys playing, you know, fighting, the NHL guys fighting. So to me, I think you need to take it out. But I understand, you know, some people love it. You know, some people love to come in and see a bloody nose and this and that. You know, listen, you got to be tired of putting in your teeth, taking out your teeth before a game. You got to be tired of that, man. Take it out. There's no need. Just like basketball got rid of a lot of their stuff, football got rid of a lot of their stuff, hockey needs to do the same thing. And baseball got rid of a few things that, you know,
you can't run over the catcher.
You can't do that for safety reasons.
Yep. They've done a lot of that, and they have done that in hockey to a degree.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They have lessened it. Mm-hmm. Like you probably remember the Red Wings and the Avalanche, the brawls that they had. Oh my gosh! And then go back to the '70s when Terry Crist was playing. It was unbelievable. What was going on back then? Absolute free fall.
Wear helmets.
So Royal Rumble.
So they have slowly evolved out of it, and they're trying to get rid of the ones for no reason. Like you said, just for show. The two big guys, they decide, let's get the crowd fired up. Let's get our benches fired up.
Why? I gotta.
Right. So look, and there's a lot of fans that love that. But I think what you don't want to take away is that edge, that intensity, that toughness, that who's the biggest, baddest team out here, the intimidation. You want to keep that in to some degree. But and if you eliminated fighting completely, what would happen? That's the question. So I go back and forth on it. I still like where – I kind of like where it is now as opposed to when the Predators first came into the league. I'm much bit more on board with where it is now as I was back then, where I was like, what are we doing out here, really?
Yeah.
Like guys who are in the lineup – really not as a player you're going to use very much, but only in there in case somebody needs to fight.
Yeah.
That player has been almost relegated like a dinosaur, right? You're really not going to play a guy unless he can play.
Exactly.
I always do think the market will correct itself. I think the sport will correct itself. I think we've seen hockey kind of correct itself, where are the days where you drop the mitts to drop the mitts. Because general managers and coaches want to continue to protect themselves. Players want to protect themselves. So we don't see fights occur as often, and we don't need a rule or penalties in order to enforce it. But let's get your thoughts on it. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you have a thought. Nate is on the line. What's up, Nate?
Good afternoon, y'all. So going back to Tuesday's game, Willie, do you know why the fans have a hard time getting an explanation when Toronto calls to review something? It just seems like every time Toronto buzzes through the arena that there's no explanation. Well, when a coach challenges, the official comes up and says, hey, coach's challenge for goalie interference or whatever. But like I said, Toronto, it just seems like we're left in the dark in the
arena. You're 100% right.
Thanks, Nate.
It's a good question, Nate. And when the broadcasters get together in September with the league will share different things, points of emphasis, any rule changes, trends going on in the league. And when they ask for questions, that is something that always comes up from the broadcasters. Can the referees do a better job of communicating to the crowd and to the broadcast so the fans at home can see it as well? What specifically is being reviewed? And there was a case on Tuesday where there was a goal scored late in the game and it was kicked in, or at least that's what they reviewed. They ended up letting the goal stand. The Red Wings player was kind of getting his balance up. It did look like a kicking motion to me. It was close, but it was called a goal on the ice. And it wasn't conclusive, so they allowed the goal to stand. But they never went on the microphone to say, we are reviewing the play for a kicking motion. They said the play is under review. So the fans were left to guess.
Like, what is it? What are they reviewing?
So eventually people figure it out. But it would help if the referees communicated that better. I do think that that's something they could work on.
That's fair.
For sure.
Because you got your Gene Steratore of the world in the NFL.
My goodness.
Though I don't always agree with the assessment or the explanation of it, at least you have somebody there to break down the rule book and the bullet points and the, you know, point 1AB clause X270, whatever it might be in the NHL rule
book. They're trying to do that in the NHL on the broadcast. ESPN's got a guy now. The TNT, I think, is bringing a guy in there. So they're coming around to that, but it would help also for the fans just there watching the game live if the referees on the ice would make that explanation or tell the PA announcer, this is what we're doing, and let the PA guy let the audience know. So next
keep
chapter
them informed.
Tonight. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how about this tonight with the Jets playing Boston, the Predators playing the Blackhawks. I was really hoping to get Elliot on today just to get the feeling for what's going on up in Canada, what's going on from the Jets' perspective. Because the Jets come here on Saturday. Could be really interesting tonight, and the focus for the Predators has to be. We talk about this every time you play a team that's out of it. The Blackhawks just beat the Bruins the other day. I really don't know how they did it, but they did it. And they out-scrapped, out-worked, and beat the Bruins.
The big bad boy Boston Bruins.
Yes. So,
let's get into that coming up next.
So the Blackhawks are playing hard. The Predators, we know, they're missing They're missing guys. Ryan McDonough is not back tonight, so you're still without a lot of players. So you have to bring it tonight if you're the Predators. You cannot look ahead.
And let's get into that coming up next, because the Predators have an absolute gauntlet coming up ahead, but they've got a key game against Chicago tonight. I know you all have thoughts and questions about it, so we are to your phones on next as well. Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Backstreet's back, all right. Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We're live out here at Jasper's on West End for all of the action in March Madness today. But tomorrow, you can join 102.5 The Game live from the Rusty Nail for the second day of the opening round of the tournament. Enjoy $3 two-lane beer drafts while watching some hoops during a St. Patrick's Day celebration. The Rusty Nail is located in Hermitage and provides a great local atmosphere with a large outdoor patio and volleyball courts, plus great drinks, great food, especially the wings. That is 102.5 The Game live at the Rusty Nail at 4054 Andrew Jackson Way in Hermitage tomorrow. Doors open at 10 a.m. The Predators in action tonight at home hosting the Blackhawks. Puck drop at 7 o'clock. We'll have your pregame coverage starting at 6 o'clock. And we have a bunch of thoughts on the Predators. So unless we have thoughts,
bring it
to the phones. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHannah.com. Steve has been waiting very patiently and is up next. What's up, Steve?
Doing well. How are you guys doing? Got a question for Willie. The game against the Red Wings, I didn't really agree with the two calls they made. They called Roman Josi for holding, and he really didn't impede the Red Wings player that much. I thought that was kind of picky. And then the one against, I guess it was Favreau for roughing.
Yeah.
I think the guy embellished more than Favreau was roughing him, and I just want to get your thoughts on that. It almost seems like these teams like the Red Wings, which are as an original six team, gets preferential treatment sometimes, and in years past they called us for embellishment quite a bit, and I don't see that they should have called embellishment against the Fairbrothers roughing, in my opinion. I'll hang up and listen to your thoughts. Enjoy the show.
I think when we saw the replay, Hal and Mace agreed with you that Dylan Larkin sort of acted like he got hit in the chin or the face, threw his head back, and there was really no contact to his head. The hit was more to the sternum, which is the legal area. I don't think there's any bias against the Predators or anything like that. Sometimes you get those calls, sometimes you don't. It evens out, I believe, over the long term. The game's going so fast. I mean, you're gonna have calls that don't go your way, and that was one that didn't go their way. But I don't think you take it any further than that in my mind. Mm-hmm. But we always argue over which is the hardest game to officiate. Mm-hmm. I think hockey and football are right there. When you're trying to get pass interference, or was it a hold? Was it a rough? was it a trip? Was it not a trip? The players also are really good at knowing what they can get away with, mm-hmm. selling a call. Like, if I see your leg is there and I just keep skating right over the top of your leg, can I fool the ref into thinking a trip when I easily could have skated around you? Yeah, some guys are really good at that. Just same thing with pass interference. Some guys are so good at adjusting their body, going up for the ball, and drawing the pass interference. Some guys are better than others at that. Sometimes they do it when it doesn't even happen, and you fool the referees that way. It's tough to officiate. It's hard.
It's a tough game, and I do always think that there is some bit of truth to refs and calls in certain teams, like in the semifinals of the SEC tournament when Vanderbilt was playing Kentucky. It was a dumb foul called on Vanderbilt, and I thought, oh, there it is, that's Sankey at it again, giving Kentucky a little bit of an edge there. But also, I think sometimes we need to cool it with that. It's not always because of who you're playing or what team it is.
They called Kentucky for an embellishment for a flop at the end of the game. You know, key time that sort of ended the game. The guy threw his head back.
Exactly.
That was a big call. Coach Cal wasn't happy about that one.
Near him.
Yeah.
But he was in. They called. What did they call? In the cylinder. They called in the cylinder. He was too far on the player, and when he swung his arm around, he still didn't hit him, but the guy flew back as if he hit him in the head. So these guys, I mean, it's hard. Like you said, it's hard to officiate these games, I think, in any sport, because these guys are bigger, faster, stronger, a lot smarter in regards to selling fouls and penalties and whatnot.
They know how to sell
it. Exactly, absolutely.
The Predators are in action tonight against the Blackhawks. That game is at Bridgestone Arena, but we are out here at Jasper's on West End Avenue. So tonight against a team that the Predators can beat, absolutely, with the gauntlet coming down the stretch. They've got the Bruins on the schedule. They finish out the season with Colorado. They've got Pittsburgh on the schedule to come. It's not easy for the Predators moving forward, but the Predators do find themselves within earshot of a playoff spot. Now 7 points behind Winnipeg. But the way that I view it is...
Four behind Winnipeg.
Four?
Yeah.
4 behind Winnipeg. Excuse me. 4 points behind Winnipeg. The way that I view it is, go play your heart out. Go put everything out on the ice. Young guys, you work for your spot. You play for... excuse me. You play for an opportunity. If you make the playoffs, great. If you don't, excuse me, so be it. I mean, it's just fun to watch this
team.
Well,
the remaining schedule is definitely a thing. I was looking at Winnipeg's schedule, even Calgary's schedule, because you got to keep them in mind, too. They're not out of it. Nashville is in good shape in that they do have the games in hand. They have 3 games in hand on Winnipeg, and they have 2 head-to-head games with Winnipeg. So those are going to be big. Also, Seattle. Nashville has 2 games in hand on Seattle. They're 6 points behind the Kraken. The Kraken come here next week for two home games for the Predators. Those are going to be huge. But all you can do is stay in that mode that you're in. Where they are right now, the energy, the chemistry, they're in a good place. And that's really the key. Just stay in that. Chip on your shoulder. Whatever they've been doing, the weight lifted from the trade deadline, it's like everything sort of changed. So if they can stay in that, they'll give themselves the best chance. They do have a much tougher schedule down the stretch than Winnipeg or Calgary. There's no getting around that. But if you have UC Saros, right, you hope to get a couple more guys back. They won't tonight, but you hope at some point you'll get Philip Forsberg back, Ryan McDonough, maybe Juuso Parsonen, and I don't know. Maybe Alex Carey. He's got more of a definitive timetable where that would be around April 1st, somewhere in that neighborhood. But, yeah, there's no getting around it. You've got a game at home against Toronto. You've got Boston on the road. You've got Buffalo on the road. You've got Carolina here.
Mm-hmm.
You're playing some of the heavyweights. There's no doubting that. They've got Vegas again, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
They have Vegas at home, I believe.
Yeah, so big one's coming up, no question about it, but just take it day by day and hope for the best. You know, other things can happen to these other teams. Like, this is what's happening with Boston right now, all right? Boston's bored. They know they're going to be the number one seed no matter what happens tonight. Now, that's what we admired about when they came through here and just buzzsawed through the Predators and made them look like they belonged in the AHL. is, you know, they could have said that night, right? They're finally having a little bit of human moment here where they've dropped a couple where they haven't looked like themselves. It's hard to be awesome for 82 games. It's such a grind.
Yeah.
So maybe you catch a couple teams who are really good teams, but what you have to hope for maybe if you're the Predators is you're hungry, you're playing well, they're a little bit on cruise control because they know the big battles are coming and they know they've got their place in the playoffs. So a lot of things can happen.
But I think the Predators are in a good spot right now where there is no pressure. There is no expectation.
Yeah.
There is no, okay, here's the finish line. We have to just scratch and claw our way there.
Had they not sold, it would be a totally different feeling. The pressure would have been palpable for sure.
If they didn't sell at the trade deadline, this would be a completely different conversation. Their seats would be so hot you couldn't even sit on it. It would be... I mean, all eyes on the Nashville Predators, but now they're cruising. Let these young guys go play because they look like they're having fun out there. They've got fight, and it is so – this is the most fun I've had watching this Predators team that I have all season long.
And I think the fans in the building feel that too. There's no question about it. They feel that, hey, nothing to lose, chip on the shoulder, team going in a different direction, but, hey, I'm liking what I'm seeing here. So – I'm really curious. That's the thing. You look forward to seeing what the next chapter is. There's not a lot of worry. It's like, hey, whatever happens, it's going to happen. And you never know. You just never know. Can you imagine if they got it? The other question I've been looking at, too, is how many points will it take? Will it be 98? Will it be 96? Could it be 95? What's that last spot going to be? Because I just think realistically, if you look at the Predators, they're not going to go 16-0.
No.
Right? And it would be hard to dominate who they're going to have to play. So what record gets you there? Like, it's I've been wondering it myself. Like, could they get to 95? Yeah. Could they get much higher than that? I don't know. That's a tough ask with the where the roster is right now. But will somebody sink down to that 95-point level? Nashville got in with 97 last year. On occasion, there's a team that gets in with 91 or 92. It just depends on the year. I don't think it would be that low, but that's something to watch. Is what will that last wild card team have? How many points will it take to get in?
And even if that is Nashville and they do get in, there's still no expectation in the playoffs.
Yeah, it'd be unbelievable.
Which is a fun position to be in when you can go into the playoffs, zero expectations. You get some fans in the building at Bridgestone Arena for a playoff game and get everyone excited for what's to come and what's coming next for this next era of Nashville Predators hockey. 615-737-1025. Maryland with a lead, 64-59, 229 to go.
That's not good for my brackets, Caroline. That is not good.
Game one, we're already busted. Willie Donick, basketball extraordinaire, and he's already going to get busted. But we still got 2 minutes and 30 seconds left to go in that game. I know D-Maze is sweating Furman over here, but we'll keep you all updated with the rest of the basketball games throughout the day. Coming up next, the Vols in action late tonight, 8:40 tip against Louisiana Lafayette. What are our expectations for Tennessee in this year's NCAA tournament? What does that mean for Rick Barnes? We'll get into all of that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Maze, 1025-1063 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Maze, 1025-1063 The Game. It is March. It's finally here. We're out here watching the games at Jasper's on West End Avenue. Come out and hang out. Grab a beer. Grab a shot. Grab some food. Got great drink specials, great food specials going on all day long. Jared just got here, too. I know he's got some fun stuff planned for us as well. Tennessee's in action tonight. Got a late tip, 8:40 against Louisiana Lafayette. And I've been looking at what all the experts, you know, the basketball national talking heads, their thoughts about the tournament. Kind of got a good consensus for how everyone, at least on the national side of things, feels about Tennessee. D-Mace, what are your thoughts on Tennessee?
They got Louisiana
tonight and going
first
forward.
Round, so you're talking a 4-13. I wouldn't be surprised if Louisiana upset Tennessee. I don't expect it. But I wouldn't be surprised. This is a team that they have struggled ever since Ziegler went down. They've struggled to score points. Now, what's good for UT is that they are one of the best as far as defensive efficiency. They're one of the best in college basketball right now. They play aggressive on the defensive end. They smother you on the defensive end. They make it hard for you to score points. But again, a lot of times they don't take those points. They don't take those stops, and it doesn't translate into points. So they've had a hard time at scoring baskets. And in March Madness, we've seen, it's great that you play great defense, a good defense, but if you can't score, it's going to be hard for you to win.
If you don't have the offense to match,
exactly.
It's going to be a tough
road
for you.
Yes.
And we've seen it. I mean, we saw it in conference tournaments. We've seen it in so many past NCAA tournaments. All it takes is one down offensive day for you to get bounced. And that's really been kind of Tennessee's bugaboo the last few years, is they have one day, whether that's against Oregon State a couple years ago, whether it's against Michigan last year. You have one down day offensively, and that's it for you. So that's the difficult thing that Tennessee has facing themselves in this tournament. Now, I do think tonight, they play Louisiana Lafayette tonight, I do think that they're going to be able to beat Louisiana Lafayette. I haven't seen a single bracketeer national talking head, and maybe I haven't looked at enough, and there's going to be a Tennessee fan that tells me I'm wrong. Everyone that I have seen doesn't have Tennessee advancing past Duke. I do think Tennessee got totally screwed in their region. I mean, they've got Duke in their region. They've got Purdue in their region. Who else have they got in their region? They've got Kentucky on their side of the
Michigan
bracket.
State.
Michigan's go green, go right.
Go white, absolutely.
They've got a tough side of the bracket. They're in a difficult region. That is an absolute gauntlet to get past. But it continues the conversation about Rick Barnes. And it continues the reputation that Rick Barnes had that has preceded his time at Tennessee, that Rick Barnes can't win in March. And Tennessee being one of the top, if not the top defense in college basketball, and you can't get past the second round of the tournament, and that you haven't been able to advance past, you know, Sweet 16s, Elite 8s, very frequently, at least in recent history, I mean, those reputations are true. And it's unfortunate that when you have a team that good and that talented, and you don't have anything to show for it. I know they won the SEC tournament last year, But in the tournament, the real tournament that matters, they don't have anything to show for it. It's a shame for a team that's this good.
Yeah, and we can already see the I'm not going to call it an excuse because it is reality. But if
it's
they do
excuse.
Get bounced early, it's going to be, well, we didn't have our point guard. That's why he's our floor general. He's a guy that gave us points, and we were not getting those points from our point guard position after he got injured. Again, he's their floor general. He's their floor captain. And they've struggled since since Ziegler hasn't been in the lineup. So I can see already, you know, especially if they get bounced in the first round because they got bounced early in the SEC conference playoffs. Playoffs.
Yeah, it's Mizzou in the tournament, yeah.
They got bounced early in that. And if they get bounced early, and I'm talking first round early because I assume their second round, you know, matchup in the field of 32 would be Duke. Duke play Oral Roberts in the first round. Mm-hmm. I expect Duke to win that game. If they get to Duke, then, okay, I think Duke's a better team.
Yeah.
But if they lose before they get to Duke, I think there's going to be a lot of, well, we didn't have our point guard. Which they would be right.
Not wrong.
It's not wrong, but.
But you have one of the best defenses in the country. You're going to have to let that power you through a little bit more. And I got a lot of Tennessee fans in my life, D-Mace. A lot of Tennessee fans that I love very, very, very dearly. And they all love Rick Barnes. And Rick Barnes is a good guy. He's a good person. And he is a good coach. But I've asked this to so many Tennessee friends that I love, that I am friends with, so on and so forth. I've asked them, aren't you frustrated? Like, doesn't that make you frustrated every single year that you have some of the top recruits in the country and Rick Barnes can recruit now? He's a recruiting machine. He'll pick up 4 and 5 stars like nobody's business. That he collects some of the top talent in the country, and he can develop some of the best defenses in the country, that Tennessee can collect some really solid wins throughout the regular season, which they had this past season. They beat Kansas. They beat Texas. They beat Kentucky. Kentucky.
Excuse me. Hey, Michelle's over there like, no.
I caught myself. Don't you worry, Michelle. But they've racked up some really solid wins throughout this entire season. I said, aren't you frustrated that you never have anything to show for it? And we won the tournament last year. It's always, we always play well in the regular season, or it's always, but Rick Barnes is such a good guy. And all of those things are true. I understand that. But I just, with Tennessee fans, I have to say, aren't you frustrated that these teams that are really good and projected to go far and they're coached well, and every single year it seems like it's the same story? I'm frustrated for them.
They should be. But, I mean, I'm sure many Tennessee fans are probably thinking, well, if we move on from Rick Barnes, then who are we going to bring in that can, you know, continue to keep our program as one of the top programs, not just in the SEC, but in college basketball? Because they have been one of the top programs in college basketball since Rick Barnes has gotten there. But when you have you know, teams that are led by Grant Williams a few years ago,
Admiral Schofield.
Admiral Schofield.
That was such a good team.
You had a great team. And what happened? You lose to Purdue in what I think the Elite Eight. I think they lost to Purdue that one year. That was your opportunity. That was the best team that you had to win a championship. And you could win it then. You've had good teams after that. And you couldn't advance in the, you know, in March Madness. I don't understand why, you know, UT fans aren't outraged, because they've had really good teams over the last what, 10 years, or let's just say over the last 5 to 7 years, mm-hmm. they've had really good teams.
And even Rick Barnes had Kevin Durant at
exactly.
Texas and
couldn't
win a championship.
Yeah, win
and look,
then.
The tournament is hard to win. Mm-hmm. It is a grind. Weird things happen. You know, you have the 12s beating the 5s. You have the Cinderellas. You have the St. Peter's upsetting Kentucky in the tournament last year. Weird things happen. I understand that. And I'm not calling for Rick Barnes' job. He's
no.
a good coach.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to get him in trouble for anything that he hasn't done. He hasn't lost to Duke yet. He hasn't lost to Louisiana Lafayette yet. We'll let the tournament unfold. But it's just always something on my mind is frustrating. It's so frustrating. You're going to collect these teams. You're going to collect this talent and then get bounced by Michigan
last year. Again, I just think that, you know, what would be the alternative if not Rick Barnes? And I'm sure there's another guy out there waiting, you know, a coach in waiting that mm-hmm. could take this program and elevate it even higher. I understand that. I get that. But do you want to go away from a really good coach that has built the culture, that knows how to recruit, get the players here? And they do win ball games.
Yeah.
They do win during the regular season. He put together a collection of guys that know how to play. It's just they forget how to play in the times where they need to learn how to and know how to play.
Once March comes
around. Exactly. Once March comes around, what do we say about Izzo? March is Izzo time. Well, it ain't been that way for Rick Barnes.
December is Barnes time. Rick Barnes, he's like Santa Claus. He shines in December. Rick Barnes, Santa Claus, and Michael Bublé. That's their month. 615-737-1025. We got a bunch of games going on today, so we will pick those coming up next. It's Caroline Willie DeMace, 1025, 1063, The Game. Happy March Madness, everyone. We're out here at Jasper's on West End Avenue. We're taking in all the games. Maryland just beat West Virginia. D-Maze is over here with his head in his hands, just shaking his head.
Man, oh,
Bracket's
man.
Already busted.
No, not really, because I didn't see either one of these teams getting past the second round, so it's not busted. Furman, they are down 3 versus Virginia. They shot up a lousy 3-pointer to tie the game. Yes, Virginia misses the first of a 1-1.
We're a very pro-Paladin show.
Exactly, yes.
We're pulling through for Furman.
Yes, we want Furman to win. At least I want them to win. Ah, he made the second one. So they're down 63-67 right now with 16 seconds left.
Oh!
A foul. Sending a big man to the line of scrimmage. To the foul line.
Virginia leads Furman 67-63.
Exactly.
Yeah, same thing. Yeah, it's all good. So let's go ahead and pick these games. We've got a bunch of games today. David, take it away.
All right, guys. So, for starters, obviously, being in the state of Tennessee, we're going to go Tennessee versus Louisiana at 8:40. Tennessee is minus 11. What do you guys got?
Also, let's not get it twisted. It is Louisiana Lafayette.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It is ULL. Let's not get that one twisted.
Exactly.
I'm going to take ULL plus 11. I think Tennessee's going to win. I think they're going to advance and then ultimately get bounced by Duke. But I do think that it's going to be closer than 11. And the last time that I picked the team that Tennessee was playing to cover the spread, I absolutely got it thrown back in my face, but I'm going to take ULL plus the 11, but Tennessee
yeah!
will
win. I'm so sorry.
This is what my fitness is about.
I'm sorry, people. I had to say that.
I missed it.
Furman is up 1 point with 2.2 seconds left. They stole the ball at midcourt on errant pass, and they hit a three-pointer to go up 1 point.
Let's go, Paladins.
Furman, yes.
All right. All right, D-Mace, your pick. Tennessee, ULL, Tennessee
you know
minus
what?
11.
I'm taking Louisiana with the points. I think I'm with you, Carolina. I still believe UT wins, but I don't think they have enough firepower to beat Louisiana by more than 11 points. So I think UT still wins, but I think it's a close game.
Right, on to the next.
All right, now we got Auburn versus Iowa. Auburn is minus 1.5, and this game's at 550. What do you got?
You go first, D-Mace.
Give me Auburn. I think it's going to be a close game, but I think they win by more than a point.
Give me the Hawkeyes.
Oh, you're taking
Going with the Big Ten, huh? Going with the Big Ten. This is it really does truly mean more, but I'm going to take Iowa to upset
Auburn. Only in football.
Auburn.
Only in
exactly,
football.
Exactly, yes. Yeah, I'm on to baseball season now.
Okay, so now we got Penn State versus Texas A&M. Two really good matchups. Texas A&M is favored by 3, and this game's at 8:55. Let's go.
I'll take Texas A&M. I think Texas A&M is such a good team. I ultimately did pick Texas A&M to beat Alabama in the SEC tournament final. I think I learned that day that there's not very many teams in the country that can beat Alabama. Alabama is just that good, and they're only getting hotter and hotter as we get into the tournament. I think Texas A&M is just such a complete team. I don't have them going to the Final Four. I wouldn't be surprised if Texas A&M ends up in the Elite Eight. I will take the Aggies.
Oh, man. I just don't think Penn State has played well down the stretch. They were very close to winning the Big Ten championship. They end up losing to Purdue. I think they shoot well from the outside, Penn State. Texas A&M, they have length, but they do struggle to score points as well. They play really good defense. But I'm just going with I'm going to pick the Big Ten right here. I'm going with Penn State.
Duh, Homer.
I'm going with Penn State.
Big Ten bias.
Just a little. Not a lot.
We don't get enough of that these days.
Exactly, yeah. They deserve it a little bit. Now, we got to go to another Big Ten school versus SC school. The Fighting Illini versus the Arkansas Razorbacks. Razorbacks are favored by 2, and this game's at 3:30. Who you guys got?
Ooh, man. Give me Arkansas.
You're flipping back and forth on your Big Ten SEC
picks. Play with the Big Ten, D-Maze. Come on.
Ah, man. I know. I've been down here so much. It's like I've been adopted into the SEC world. I love the Big Ten. But in this situation, I'm picking Arkansas.
Why are you taking Arkansas?
I'm just taking them.
Okay. Well, that's fair. That is a fair point.
Just taking them.
I'm going to take Illinois.
I picked them in my bracket too, so that's why.
So that's fair. Yeah. You got to write it through. You got to trust the bracket. I'm going to take Illinois. I think that at times Arkansas has looked like one of the best teams in the SEC. Mm-hmm. Also, at times Arkansas looks like one of the worst teams in the SEC. Arkansas to me has been such a difficult team for me to put my finger on. It's been a difficult team for me to bet on. Some nights they're hot. Sometimes they're not. They struggle making free throws at times. They're just not consistent enough for me to take Arkansas or for me to, you know, rely on Arkansas. I've picked against Arkansas a whole lot. Sometimes it's burned me. I'm going to be totally honest with you. I think I've watched a grand total of 0 seconds of Illinois basketball throughout this entire season.
But you've watched enough of Arkansas
I've watched
basketball.
Enough Arkansas to know that I just can't always trust the Razorbacks. So give me Illinois.
Fair enough. Now, we got one, this is our last game, Boise State versus Northwestern. Northwestern is, they're favored by 1.5 points, and this game's at 6:35.
Oh, man.
Whew, that's a late game.
Also, two teams that I have watched a grand total of 0 minutes of.
I went with Northwestern because they are a Big Ten team. I keep on flipping back and forth. But, you know, they're not playing a SEC team, so I went with Northwestern. Have I seen much Northwestern basketball? No, but I guarantee you this, I have seen no Boise State basketball. So,
yeah, I've seen none of it. And apologies to the Boise State fans out there. Just because you're going with Northwestern, I will ride with Boise State.
Do you think Boise State's court is just blue, just like their field is?
I think it should be.
Yeah, I think it should be. You got to match them.
Yeah, if it's not, it absolutely should be. Those were our picks of the day. Shouts out to David. Thank you so much. David's been holding it down back in the studio at the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios. Are you projecting today, D-Maze? Mm-hmm. We'll go back to St. Peter's, Kentucky, just a massive, massive upset. Is there going to be a glass slipper, a Cinderella team that advances today and a major, major upset today? I always look at like the 12-5s. Mm-hmm. So Oral Roberts and Duke is a 12-5 matchup today. Where are some other ones happening today? That's always one that I look
Furman.
To.
Furman. That was a major upset, Furman over Virginia. I did pick Furman. So I got
one. Did that
one.
Game just wrap up?
Yeah, the Furman game they
Furman
won.
Furman over Virginia.
Yes,
okay,
Furman
that's a
won.
Huge win for Furman.
Yes. I have I'm trying to see. Creighton and North Carolina State, that's not too big of an upset. I got North Carolina State winning. Creighton's a 6 seed. North Carolina State's a 11, I believe. That's not a huge upset, but I think it's still an upset when you base it upon how they were seeded this year. But beside the Furman one, I don't think I have too many upsets. How about you?
My big upset of the day, give me College of Charleston over San Diego State.
Oh, I do have Providence over Kentucky.
Ooh, yes. Okay.
You heard me, Michelle.
As you got a stink eye from our friend Michelle Knezovic over there. That is going to do it for us today. Thank you to Jaspers for hosting us. We will be out here all day watching the games, drinking some beer, eating some food. So make sure to come out and hang out with us. Stillman & Company is up next. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m.
Peace.